You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
Hey, this week I have Nina in the studio who's going to be talking about some personal health issues and her experience of her two brain tumours, and she's also started to write about a blog of her experiences and life in general. Nina, welcome to Camden Community Radio.
Thank you.
So tell me about your experience from your diagnosis and to your treatment.
It all kind of happened really quickly. I was basically went to have my hearing tested because I had a bit of hearing loss. And basically, the deafness was varying in each ear. So long story short, I went off for an MRI scan. Called back another week later to go and have another MRI scan, and was told that they found a tumour. But because the specialist wasn't the brain specialist, I had to wait 6 weeks. So bless her, she wrote down the name of the tumour and said, don't Google it. So I had to wait 6 weeks before I met the neurosurgeon and was diagnosed with my brain tumour. She told me a bit more about it, all which is a bit vague, if I'm honest with you, because it's all a bit of a blur. And when you hear the words brain tumour, nothing else sort of kind of fades into the background. And then literally in May, I had pre-op, which is a series of tests, and had an operation scheduled for August. And that was removed, and luckily got an infection, so I had to end up having more brain surgery after that. And the following year, it turned out there was another brain tumour that they had initially not seen.
So how long ago was the first initial? Take us back to the very first.
So I was diagnosed in November 2011.
Okay.
And then the second one, July 2013.
Yeah. It's overwhelming when you hear brain tumour, and tell me how you was feeling throughout the process, and what was your thoughts, and how did you feel?
Just shock more than anything, because I don't know, like, obviously I knew nothing about brain tumours. I didn't know what it meant, didn't know what was going to happen. Mm. You don't know if you're going to have permanent physical problems or anything. So it was kind of a real shock to kind of consume the information and diagnose the digest the information even to sort of understand what it all meant. I think it was more of a longer process, and I think it was more with the second tumour that I had a chance to actually do some research, find out more about what it actually means to have a brain tumour. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was just a complete shock.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So you don't really think much. You think 100 things and then not anything at all at the same time.
And it's a lot to take in because, with the treatments, I can imagine. And
I think I was quite lucky in the sense that I didn't have to have any treatments per se, although I did have to have, they just said to me, right, we're going to cut it out. And that was it.
You've started blogging about your experience and life in general. Tell me a bit more about your blog and where people can go to find.
My blog is www.ninasaini.com. I'm going to spell it because I've got an awkward surname. It's Nina, N-I-N-A, Saini, S-A-I-N-I.com. The idea of the blog was to create something that I could kind of write about things that I'm interested in, as well as writing about life experiences. And one of the reasons I wanted to write about my brain tumours was to raise more awareness about brain tumours. And also because I've done quite a bit of fundraising for the brain tumour charity, so it was about sharing why I was fundraising, really.
Yeah.
And so what I've recently done is written a post about my brain tumours. I've called it My Brain Tumours Part 1 because there is more to come, but I figured it would be too much to stick it all in one post. And within that, there's some links about brain tumour information. And I hope would be quite interesting and informative to people who want to find out more.
Yeah, that's great. So what else, from your experience, what else can you say about what you've been through and, the emotional, did you want to just shut out people out your life, and did you just want to, be on your own and kind of take it all in? Like, what was you going through throughout the...
I think it's a really tricky one. I mean, in my case, when I got diagnosed with the first tumour, we actually had a series of, comedy of errors. My parents' house burnt down. They had a fire. Then we got burgled. I had a distraction in a way. So that kind of kept me busy. So I didn't have a chance to think about it. And I think I've been really fortunate where I've got an amazing family and a brilliant partner that really helped me through and are, you know, kind of the people that love you enough so that you can kind of, they put up with your up and down moods and things like that. But I think it's very difficult because when you come out of surgery, you don't really want to see anyone anyway because you've just had your head cut open and you're feeling, you know, crap anyway. So I was very much at arm's length and letting people come in to visit me anyway because I wasn't very sociable. But yeah, if it wasn't for my family and for my partner, I think, you know, I think that really helped me.
Yeah. How long was the recovery process?
It was quite long. Yeah. It takes quite a long time. In my case, kind of learning how to look after myself again was the hardest thing, you know, having help to get dressed and shower and those kinds of things. And also the pain, I think, was quite difficult. I had a lot of dizziness and ironically, I didn't have any migraines prior to the operation, but subsequently since I've had a lot more and stuff. So, I mean, I try not to think about it as much, but when I get an odd bad migraine, then you kind of, you know, makes you step back a bit and sort of say, okay, right, I need to just chill out a bit.
Okay. And I mean, like, initially when you went through the first process and then for it to come be told that again you have another brain tumour in a different area.
Yeah.
I mean, tell us about that. That must have been.
I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I thought literally, are you kidding me? Kind of thing. But yeah, again, it was a shock. I mean, I was in my head planning celebration, thinking I'm going to get the all clear. You know, I've had the first. You know, it's been nearly a year since the first one was removed, and that hadn't returned. So on the bright side, there was no residue left over from the first tumour, and I had a biopsy once they've taken it out and it wasn't cancerous, so that was positive. So when I found out about the second one, it was like, you know, you couldn't believe it, really. But in almost in a bit of kind of, you know, what the hell kind of way. But, yeah, I think I was a lot... I think it was always a possibility, but I think, you know... It's not very common. I've been told to have two brain tumours growing simultaneously in your brain, but it's one of those things.
What an ordeal you've been through. You're so brave. I mean, I've read your blog and it's really, really inspiring for what you've actually said and what you've gone through.
Thank you.
So is there anything else you'd like to touch on? You know, I know we discussed earlier that brain tumour is not as a common... thing as other types of cancers. Is there something that you'd like to say?
Yeah, I mean, from my understanding, there's more funding needed for brain tumour research. We don't know why they occur. We don't know why they happen. They can affect anybody, but it actually kills more children and adults under the age of 40 than any other cancer.
Yeah.
So it'd be great to raise further awareness about that, and there's still more to be done.
Yeah. Nina, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
You're listening to a download from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org